welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Koman, Head of M&A Research and Strategy. It's Friday, 3rd July 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MUFGEMEA.com, Stitcher, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. So Essan, this week we are going to be talking all things Saudi Arabia, and there appears to be quite a lot of developments on the data front. Can you run through the latest figures and how you gauge the country is navigating the oil and virus shocks?
Thanks, Ona. So yes, Saudi Arabia, as with other emerging markets, has been hit as hard as we had expected by the oil price slump and COVID-19. But by and large, our confidence in its capacity to weather the losses has strengthened. And that's primarily due to three key reasons. So first, due to positive economic data being registered since the April nadir. Second, we've had a firming in global energy markets with a combination of recovering demand as well as OPEC Plus success in its oil market management strategy in allowing oil prices to recover from the April lows. And third and finally, with the reopening of the economy firmly on the way, it is clear that we are over the worst. And as COVID-19 begins to ebb out of the equation, we foresee a rebound in domestic consumption and over time, higher foreign direct investment inflows. So on the data front, the latest monthly purchasing managers index, so that's the PMI, which is a key barometer of the health of corporate activity and highly correlated with GDP, continues to show signs of improvements in May, reflecting higher optimism amongst corporates. So granted, the overall figure is still below 50, which marks a separation between contraction and expansion. So there's no gain in actual momentum, but nevertheless, it has risen to stand at 48.1 in May, from the April trough of 42.4. And with June for us almost certainly likely to register further upward moves. Now, beyond the improvements in PMI, first quarter 2020 data showed that the current account surplus stood at $2.9 billion. So still in positive territory, albeit lower than the $13.8 billion recorded in the same Q1 period in 2019, with the decline mainly due to both a fall in oil and non-oil exports. However, we are not out of the woods, and economic growth signaled last week that the economy remains in recession, with real GDP growth down -1% year on year in the first quarter of this year, from -0.3% year on year in the last quarter of 2019. And this is primarily due to both lower oil production, although non-oil GDP growth has also decelerated sharply. And most immediately, the lockdown imposed in response to the pandemic has been far-reaching, and along with the difficulty of containing the virus, forcing Saudi Arabia to reimpose a temporary partial curfew in June. Now, on the banking side, the central bank, SAMA, has boosted liquidity and created funding programs for the corporate sector, which, coupled with easing liquidity constraints, has allowed the kingdom to comfortably fund its large budget shortfalls without building pressure on the currency or on local rates. And we expect this to continue, and we see no meaningful threat to fiscal stability or indeed to the maintenance of the dollar peg. So on net, we are continuing to see more stronger high-frequency data flows coming from Saudi Arabia since the April lows. And we have not discussed financial metrics such as CDS spreads, credit spreads, and the equity market, as well as the forward currency market, which are all witnessing better performance since April.
So it would seem that there's quite a lot of positive data readings coming out of Saudi Arabia right now. But keeping in mind the current global crisis, adequate available buffers are required to withstand such shocks. How does Saudi's wealth cushion stack up, Essan?
Sure. So notwithstanding the gravitas of the situation, Saudi Arabia enters this challenging period with significant balance sheet strength and remains well positioned to withstand a protracted period of low oil prices over the medium term, given an ample wealth buffer was accumulated over the last couple of decades. So in terms of figures, Saudi wealth buffers that we defined as FX reserves held at the central bank, sovereign wealth fund assets, and public sector banking deposits amalgamated to a total of over $860 billion at the current juncture, which is more than 115% of GDP. So the sovereign remains well positioned to navigate the shocks such as low oil prices and COVID-19 demand destruction from a position of financial strength here. Now, one point on FX reserves, which got some spotlight over the last couple of months. So FX reserves had fallen sharply in February, March, and April at $4.5 billion, $24 billion, and $25 billion month on month, respectively, mainly due to a transfer of $15 billion in March, as well as a $25 billion in April from SAMA to the Public Investment Fund, so that's Saudi Arabia's Sovereign Wealth Fund, for the purposes of providing liquidity to carry out opportunistic international asset purchases. Now, encouragingly, FX reserves, in fact, rose by just less than $1 billion to stand at $449 billion as of May, with this stabilization expected after the authorities provided guidance that FX reserves should stabilize with the end of the transfers to the PIF. Now, moreover, and on this guidance point, we continue to take increasing comfort with the length and vigor that the authorities are demonstrating in providing forward guidance to markets in articulating their policy responses. So that's socio-economic, fiscal, and monetary to tackle the oil virus shocks. And indeed, although the broad commitment to reform remains in place, there appears to be a realistic rethinking of several aspects of the development program to ensure robust execution. And more broadly, the momentum from the leadership centered on a KPI performance-based achievement approach is undoubtedly serious, and critical structural reforms continue to create the necessary platforms for corporates to evaluate strategic risk-reward opportunities.
And finally, Ehsan, how does the Saudi outlook look now that we're in the second half of 2020? What do you think investors can take comfort in, and what could be the signs that investors should be cautious of?
Yes, I know. So heading into the second half, we are certainly in a better position than we were 3 months ago, for sure, in terms of Saudi prospects. So on words of caution first, we would say that risks are broadly balanced, with skewed to the downside, and most of this is due to externalities that are broadly out of the control of Saudi Arabia. So this is in particular the course of COVID-19 in the second half of the year, and whether we will see an intensification or whether the virus begins to ebb out of the equation. And indeed, with the global economic outlook still so weak, we are much more preoccupied by the downside risks with such global policy disappointment or a potential performance shock almost certainly pushing oil prices sharply lower. And although we would state that this would not lead us to reconsider our FX view, however, lower energy earnings would take Saudi's deficits higher and push growth lower as confidence could falter in such a scenario and austerity measures could begin to accelerate again. Now, incorporating the mechanical volumetric impact of oil output cuts on oil GDP, as well as the severe impact of COVID-19 lockdowns on non-oil GDP through domestic demand contraction, and the most recent government stimulus as well as consolidation measures into our econometric models, we forecast Saudi real GDP growth to contract in 2020 by -3.7%, which is above current market consensus, and indeed the IMF's most recent forecast of -6.8%, which is rather conservative in our view. And the difference resides in our expectation of a slightly stronger oil GDP performance given higher oil prices and production, whilst we also expect private consumption to rebound to boost non-oil GDP. Now, what can investors take a lot of comfort in? Well, the sheer degree of articulation from the authorities in providing guidance on their policy direction in and of itself is commendable and certainly allows investors to position their investments and general thinking around the Saudi story. And views are that the first half of 2020 shock might indeed become a catalyst for broader reform and a re-engineering of policy priorities with the Vision 2030 Structural Reforms Program. And we see investors appreciating the realistic strategy given the new operating environment and next normal that we're beginning to see post-COVID-19. And in particular, we look for pressures on public finances to give fresh impetus to efforts to allow private firms to take a more central role in planned infrastructure, industrial as well as service sector projects. And the country's appetite for foreign capital may also have been sharpened by the downturn, encouraging fresh focus on operational concerns that have kept FDI low over the last few years and opening the way for more public-private partnerships. Now, crucially, we also expect the outflow of expatriates triggered by the 2020 recession, coupled with the impact of fiscal constraints on public sector employment, to see Saudi nationals take a much more prominent role in the private sector, accelerating the overhaul of the labor force. So to sum, diversification will take time given the scale and magnitude of the program at hand, that thus will take years to deliver the pledges set out in Vision 2030, with progress still in the very early stages. But the energy, vigor, and the momentum for us in terms of the Saudi leadership is serious. And we remain optimistic that the reform program, should it bear fruit, to not only boost the potential growth rate over the long term, but also to structurally transform the economy with long-standing impediments to investment and productivity being reversed. And so we view that on balance, there's much more that investors will take comfort in the overall story in the second half of this year.
Right, thanks very much for that insight, Ehsan. Have a good week and speak to you next week.
Thanks, Ona. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from our global markets research team.